Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Woken represents Atlanta. Man, but what a tough day for the Metro yesterday as Caitlin Clark comes in and takes over the trap. Was watching that one live. Angel Reese blows a layup. We're not going to hold Dan Woken accountable for that. He covers college football and a lot of things for Yahoo. He joins us now. Dan, in previous years, it feels like, you know, maybe not previous years, but at least when he got the job, it feels like we would talk about Deion Sanders nonstop. Anything he did, nonstop. And I'm just wondering, you know, what's happening in Colorado. Nothing that is observed at practice can be reported, published, posted, broadcast, otherwise shared in any form, on any platform, at any time. What do you make of that for Deion Sanders and Colorado football?
Well, I don't think most people really care about how the media gets treated covering Colorado football or what the rules are. All that stuff, I think, for most people seems a little bit silly and doesn't matter, and I just don't like to be the media person who complains about that. I do think it's all connected to the fact that Deion doesn't really know what he's doing and hasn't as a college coach at this level, and it's been a pretty mediocre product. I think the clock is ticking on the relevance of this experiment, and I think that in a couple weeks, they're going to be coming to Atlanta on a Thursday night and get embarrassed by Georgia Tech. And that will start the countdown to what a lot of people in the business believe is going to happen at the end of the season, which is that he will no longer be the head football coach there.
Wow. Ohio State, Oregon. Dan, you got a, in terms of, we're going to get this college football, the AP poll, I believe here, top of the next hour. Should one be one over the other, Dan? Any particular vote in terms of one or the other there? Or should it be a different team? Should it be a Georgia in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know, right? Because the way these rosters change year to year, it gets a little funky. You look at the polls from the last couple years, the preseason poll looks terrible by the end of the season. Having said that, I lean a little bit toward Oregon. I just kind of really like their team. And I just feel like they're right on the precipice of the kind of breakthrough that could lead to Dan Lanning coaching in a national championship game. But obviously a lot of games to play between now and then. You can flip a coin on that one as far as I'm concerned. Texas is loaded, Oregon's loaded, Ohio State's loaded. There's probably seven or eight teams that you could actually make a real argument for.
Obviously, Memphis will be part of that week zero slate. I am just curious what you make of the scheduling strategy. They already had a series with Boise State that they knew they had to return the road game on this year. And then they added a few months ago a home-and-home series with UNLV that will start there this season, and it will start at week zero. So that's at UNLV. It's at Boise State in two of the first 3 weeks of the season. Where do you come down on that scheduling strategy for Memphis? Does it make sense given what they have to do? Is it more overkill based on now you're asking them to go out on the road two of the first three games and win? Like, I'm just curious what you make, if anything, of that strategy for Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, it's high risk, high reward for sure. And I don't know if it was necessarily as much of a strategy as it was just, hey, this is kind of how it had to come together this year to take games that we feel like are good games. I haven't talked to anyone over at Memphis about that, so I don't know kind of how they viewed it. But obviously, at the end of the day, you know, they had a choice between playing UNLV or trying to, you know, schedule a FBS or somebody else, and they chose this route. And if they go in the games, they're going to be an unbelievable position to make the college football playoff. But, you know, if they don't, you can still win your conference. You know, I think at the end of the day, when you look at how to position yourself as that top group of 16 to get into the playoff, you do probably need to differentiate yourself by winning a big game or two in the non-conference. And whether that's a Power Four game or whether that's a game against like schools in the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, those are very much season-defining results. And they're going to come early, so we'll see how it works out.
Dan, what do you think about Arch Manning's chances at the Heisman? And I guess I'd ask the question this way. Do you think because of who he is, perhaps, that he would have to do more because of the family he comes from, because of the name, because of maybe even the slow start to his career? Now, last year, end of the year, he started looking the part, and I think most people expect that this year. What do you think of his Heisman chances?
Yeah,
I think we lost Dan. We'll probably have to try him back. Yeah. Let's try him back. Yeah. Obviously, I feel like the stuff I've seen is like he's like the most bet to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. You know, because he did. I want to say after in the second half of that season last year, come on, as one of the best passers in the country.
Yep.
You know. And so with another year, you know, of development, and I don't know what the schedule exactly looks like, but. I mean, it would make sense that he would take a step, you know. I mean, it would certainly stand to reason that that is something that could happen.
Got Dante Moore, got Julian Sain, in terms of those other guys, that'll be in the race.
But, yeah, there's Dan, on Arch Manning?
Yeah, so I'm in a hotel, but my connection's kind of funky, but we'll give it our best shot here. A lot of notoriety, obviously, coming into the season, just like last year. I think that you look at the second half of the season, he played well, but the stats weren't like overwhelming. So I think maybe once again, people are a little out over their skis on him. Certainly the potential to come out this year and play great football and be the best player on a team that's number one in the country is definitely there for him. And they're loaded for sure. But I just don't know. Watching him last year, you know, even the best version of him is going to have the numbers to compete. But we'll see. I don't know.
Well, it'll be Dante, too, if that Oregon team does what you think it could do, right? Because he's got all the tools, Dante Moore. And coming, what a story that would be in terms of coming back to college, a decision that John and I probably in the moment, we said he was dumb for doing. What are you doing? Just avoiding the Jets? They could be back in a position to draft you next year. He comes back and wins the Heisman. What a year for Dante Moore.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely in that group of elite quarterbacks. And usually we're talking about quarterbacks when it comes to the Heisman Trophy. And, those are probably the top contenders, but you know, there's also some guys who could emerge, some other really good veteran quarterbacks out there. I mean, what if Lenora Sellers pops off this year at South Carolina? Like people thought he was going to do last year. There's some other names. Like, I've got a story coming out tomorrow on Noah Fifita at Arizona. Yep. You know, big numbers and best player on their team. So there's a lot of possibilities.
Talking to Dan Wilkins, senior writer for Yahoo Sports. There was a piece up at ESPN.com a couple of days ago from Bill Connolly about how much college football has sort of changed in 2026 from even 10 years ago, and his sort of premises at the tempo era. And college football is over. Points are down. The drives per game are down across the board. Plays per game are down. And it's not like a huge gap, but it is noticeable in how much more time teams are taking. So I guess I'll just ask, is there going to be someone, you know, because all these things are cyclical, is there going to be someone soon who brings tempo back and all of a sudden, you know, takes college football by the horns again? Or is this just the way the game is going to be, a little bit slower, a little bit more, methodical, you know, every game?
Well, everything's cyclical for sure. And you see in college football and the NFL, you know, some trends come into the game and it takes some time for people to figure it out. And then they make adjustments and then things kind of reset. And I think some of that has happened with the tempo stuff. I also think in college football right now, one thing that everybody's struggling with is depth because of NIL and the way the talent's been spread out. You know, even the blue blood programs don't have as much depth as they used to have. And I think for coaches looking at it, it's like, all right, well, if we try to play that fast, you know, can we make it a 60-minute game? You know, can we last? Can we play that many plays physically and still have a team, you know, that can compete at the end of a 60-minute game? And so that's a big challenge, too, for a lot of teams. And so maybe slowing things down, fewer plays, slower tempo, gives people what they feel is their chance to play their best football.
Dan, I know I'm changing sports on you, the NFL, but that is a nasty-looking quarterback situation that the Falcons have on their hands. And what appears to be an otherwise dynamic offense, if you could just find some competent quarterback play, if you think about the weapons that they've gotten, that they've paid.
Yeah, I mean, but isn't that the question with everybody in the country? Like, how's your quarterback going to play? You know, and obviously, like, there's some big-time wide receiver rooms across the country. I don't know how to answer that question, but, yeah, like, when you're paying your skill players and so there's a balance there. I mean, you look at what some of these quarterbacks are making, you know, $4 and $5 million at the top of college football. You know, like everybody's working on a budget, even though it seems like the money's out of control. And it's just, you know, whoever wins is, I think, allocating their resources probably the best. And, you know, it's like if you have really good receivers and weapons, but your quarterback stinks, well, you probably misallocated.
Yep, absolutely. Dan, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time as always,
man.
Have a great week.
All right, see you guys.
Yep, he is Dan Wolkin, covers college football and a whole bunch of other things for Yahoo Sports.
Stefanski was cutting it off there.
Yeah, that was
Dan thinking that was a college football question.
That was horrific.
Yeah, clearly he didn't. The connection on our end probably wasn't working for him either.
Yeah. Because you asked a question about Tua.
I switched it up to him. I'm switching it up on you.
And I think that's I think he exactly. But whatever he thought the question was. I know it was a good answer to that.
Quarterbacks have to perform.
To that question that he
when
thought
you're spending
it
big
been.
On the weapons.
Obviously, bro, don't ask that man about the Falcons. That man don't give a damn about the Atlanta.
No,
Falcons.
He didn't hear the question. Clearly, it was breaking up. Yeah. Tua fumbled second snap. It's the talk of Atlanta right now. It's a mess in there.
Yeah.
Penix can't play.
Because I'd say that, you know, the Falcons are absolutely spending a ton of money on the quarterback. There's no
on all the skill spots.
Yeah. So what is
the answer for the spirit of his answer is really all true.
Yeah.
You have to perform when you've got those kind of weapons.
Well, to Miami's technically paying him, so it doesn't actually come off the Atlanta books.
Huh?
He's only making the bet minimum with the Atlanta club. So
right, and they got Penix on a rookie deal, which has allowed them to pay Bijan, all their guys, Pitts, Drake.
No, it looks
you don't have a quarterback.
Looks really really bad for them. Penix can't play yet, so that continues to look bad as well.
Folks lost 27-7, man.
Yeah.
They are a mess.
And Bo Nix did not play.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of the starters did, but Bo Nix did not. And they still got absolutely housed at home with their starters out there. I mean, that's the problem. It's like you put two out there for a couple series. I mean, I don't think we saw Bijan, but still, it's not encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an Atlanta Falcons fan, which is why I understand why Dan would want to switch it to whatever it was.
Keep it on college football.
That he switched it to. And I also understand why nobody in Atlanta wants to talk about what happened last night in the W. Nobody wants to talk about that.
I don't – is this a WNBA conversation?
Angel Reese smoked the layup wide open at the buzzer to send it into overtime. And Caitlin said, you can't give me an extra 5 minutes because I'm going to take it from you. Brilliant game for Caitlin, obviously, and an MVP, an unsung MVP of that game, the great Sophie Cunningham. I mean, what a team.
It looked like it was Aaliyah Boston and then Kelsey making the play down the stretch.
What a team.
In overtime, you trying to give Caitlin the credit.
Caitlin finished 26-9 was absolutely dominant to Aaliyah Boston, who, you know, to her credit, was definitely finishing to get to the foul line.
She finished it down the stretch.
Yeah.
Her and, was it Kelsey?
Kelsey Mitchell had 20.
Yes.
Yep.
They were the scorers in overtime. Caitlin was fantastic, and she was laughing at my girl missing the layup to end regulation. She walked off the floor laughing at Angel.
Yeah. The true unsung hero of the game was Mikayla Timpson, who had 20 points and seven boards.
I changed teams. I went to Minnesota.
Oh, you're in Minnesota now?
Yep.
All right. Well, that, you got Olivia Miles up there.
I'm in Minnesota now.
Obviously, we have.
I'm with Miles.
We she's a Lyft client, of course. And then the great Nafisa Collier.
Mm-hmm. How well, we're going to win a title this year.
Yeah, I mean they
count on it.
They just beat the Aces over the weekend, 29-7.
Best team in the league by far.
Yeah, they really have to make it this year. They have to win it this year. It feels like for them, it's time. Nafisa's healthy again, and you know got her back on the. You know, you get the Miles draft. I mean, they're loaded. So this really should be the year. But I did want to make sure we brought that up. You know, for our audience, that Caitlin Clark went into Atlanta and got the dub.
Happy for her.
You know, I know it was a tough day for Ron Tillery, but with any luck, he'll persevere. I truly do believe it. We believe in you, Ron. We really do.
Yeah, I think he's a Sky guy.
We really. I thought he was an Angel guy. Maybe he is a Sky guy. Maybe yeah. I think the Sky did persevere yesterday against the Storm, for the record, 82-80.
Yeah, we're trying to win a different way.
Yeah. For sure.
The Sky, having moved on.
Rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Got your girl Cardoso out there.
Your big Cardozo's out there.
22-12 for her.
Walking double-double.
Yes. Thanks to Dan Wolken for joining us on the show today. He's kind of been a Monday regular, so I know he's excited to get to some games as well. So it's a shared desire around here, no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Did you see this graphic? There's this graphic out there that's taken the internet by storm. It's like regions that are broken down. Like if you could pick anywhere in the United States, you know, and it's like some, like it's like a big circle. You don't get all the states, you know, but you get some. I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting. Maybe we can break that down at some point today on the show. Stick around. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I know Penny Hardaway told the media over the weekend or last week that he has no interest in bringing in any more players for 2026-27, but there's now an additional report of Memphis contacting another 5-5 guy. This is Bethune-Cookman forward Daniel Ruzan. So Memphis on this list, of according to Daniel Ruzan, he says he's been contacted by Memphis. So I don't know.
I mean, Munns quote tweeted that and put Hardaway's quote from last week. So yeah. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Penny said, "Who we going to war with is who we're going to war with." So now you're gonna make another call and change that.
I mean, you reserve the right to change it. I mean, if you know, guy really, like
kind of just said you like your team.
Yeah, but maybe just a.
Emphatically, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And if now you got your beat writer out here doubling down on it with your quote from last week.
Well, somebody obviously is not being truthful.
And who knows when that when that contact was made? I mean, does it say necessarily?
It was posted 50 minutes ago.
It's a list.
Yeah.
Right? It's on a list.
FAU, Memphis, New Mexico State, UNLV, Pacific, Campbell, New Orleans, Southern Miss, Cal State, Bakersfield, and CSUN. So, you know, is it possible that he received interest 2 months ago? I doubt it, because these guys didn't get the injunction until recently. Mm-hmm. So these guys probably didn't.
Yeah, but like last week or before he had the statement last week is what I'm asking.
Oh, possibly, yeah.
Before he made the statement.
Yeah, it's possible.
Which was a few days ago out at the golf course.
Yeah. Not sure. Either way, semantics, not semantics. He's not testifying in front of Congress. So, you know, if he wants to add a guy, I think he's perfectly within his rights to do that. It's complicated because there's
you'll have to bump somebody
spots,
off.
Right. And so it's a little more sensitive in nature. Mm-hmm. So I understand why he would kind of want to get at that publicly. But, you know, behind the scenes, maybe there could be stuff going on. Who knows? All right. We had NFL preseason week one. It was, you know, mostly bench guys, I would say. There were certainly some teams that rolled their starters out there, but it was, for the most part, you know, a lot of backups. You know, Josh Allen did play for the Buffalo Bills.
So DJ Moore looked very sprightly and asking the defender, come on, I want that contact.
Yeah, he was
looked like he was really raring to go. Healthy, clearly, yep, paid, and ready to do for Josh Allen. That's what he looked like to me.
Yeah, Josh Allen got in there, 6 of 8, 111 yards.
And they did to get their new stadium folks a look at their man. That stadium does look good, even though I know it's got some parts that are, you know, I guess behind railings or whatever else.
Yep.
But that stadium is beautiful.
Yep. So CBSSports.com has a list of winners and losers from week one of the preseason. Winner is Brooklyn Broncos receiver Courtland Sutton, according to them. I mean, obviously the Broncos played starters and ran it up on the Falcons.
Yeah, that was just a bunch of great catches. He made a great catch. In terms of narratives going forward, though, that wasn't much of one.
Yeah.
Sutton had a good catch in that game.
Steelers GM Omar Khan for drafting Drew Aller.
Here we go. Because you and I questioned it.
Yeah, Drew Aller was 10 of 13 for 153 and 3 touchdowns.
We questioned whether or not – we didn't question him taking a quarterback. We questioned whether or not Drew Aller is your quarterback of the future.
Yep.
That you've now got in the organization. And he was good.
Yep.
He was good.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough. I mean, these are, you know, the third string on third string, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of –
That's the issue.
Yeah, what kind of play calling are we dealing with here on defense? I mean, you've seen some really vanilla stuff, and I'm not qualified enough to know, you know, I don't have the information, you know, how aggressive were these defenses being. I had it on, but I wasn't really paying. It was a blowout, you know, so. But he looked good in the minutes that he got.
And like we've said, you know, like we've said, too, about Carson Beck, there's a third-round draft pick invested in that QB, and so whether it's Pittsburgh or whether it's Arizona, there is some incentive to see these guys out here again. Whether or not Eiler's the future, or, you know, going forward, or whether as a starter or whether he is a backup guy, but they'll start to get a look at that, and I imagine want to see him against some better competition.
Yep.
In the rest of this preseason, got 2 more games.
Cardinals quarterbacks, CBS Sports calls winners of Week One: Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, Keaton Slovis, 26 of 30 for 212 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Raiders, which, again, that's probably more of a Raiders skill issue than a Cardinals positive. But they did. I mean, they couldn't really miss against the Raiders. So, and that's without Carson Beck, who it sounds like is still going to be injured for Week 2 or Week 3 for them. So, I mean, yeah, it's backup defenses, backup quarterbacks on backup defenses. Hard to say. Another winner, Fernando Mendoza hype, according to CBS Sports. Fernando Mendoza was 10 of 16 for 97 yards and a touchdown, and according to CBS, he showed flashes of what he could eventually become, and that's exactly what you want to see if you are the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, again, it's, I don't want to go crazy because it was a backup. It was actually the third-string defense, I would guess, that he saw,
mm-hmm,
because they didn't play starters, and then Kirk started the first series and went down and scored a touchdown. Now Mendoza did the same thing, and 10 of 16 for, you know, 97 yards and a score. It's pretty damn good. But I'm not gonna, you know, and do I like how poised he looked in the pocket? Absolutely. Made some throws, made some good decisions, threw it away. Like, he has that's why he got drafted number one, because he has the mental fortitude to play the position. Really not the question. It's does he have the physical ability, right? Mm-hmm. Well, does he have the arm? Does he have, you know, all those things? Listen, if you have the mental fortitude to play that position, you can be a good quarterback in the NFL, period. And I thought, you know, again, against this backup defense, third string maybe even, he showed a lot of it. We'll see. We'll see if he gets the start, you know, this week in preseason, what else it looks like. But, yeah, I mean, certainly a great start for him, absolutely. And then the 49ers receiver, Dejon Stribling, they need another guy. They need another weapon. He caught 7 passes for 63 yards against the Titans. He's getting a lot of hype in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's an opportunity, right? Because no Pearsall, you know, you don't have him. Ayuk is AWOL.
Mike Evans is banged up.
Mike Evans.
Debo is old.
No way Mike
just
Evans
brought him back.
You know, last a full season. So they definitely need somebody there,
mm-hmm,
in San Francisco. Again, you're really digging deep here. My man John Breach at CBS Sports to find some winners here in preseason. But that's the kind of week it was, right? It wasn't.
Well, I didn't hear you with the Bears on there and Antoine Randall-El's play calling in the second half. That was a winner in there, was it not?
I think this is a misread by John Breach.
I cannot
to have
believe
you're going to
admit that yourself.
Well, I'm working my way.
Oh, okay.
He's the last one on the winners list.
He shined. Do you remember Antoine Randall Hill as a player?
Pittsburgh
with
Steelers.
With the Steelers? Yeah. Yes. He was dynamic.
And he was a quarterback in college at Kent State, right?
And played a little bit of that. I want to tell you, did a little bit of Wildcat where he did a little quarterback and running when he was in the NFL with the Steelers. It wasn't just all lining up at receiver. But Ben Johnson let him call plays in the second half.
Yep.
And they scored 24 of the 34 points. We were just having a ball in the second half.
He was at Indiana, not Kent State, excuse me.
We were playing with Shadur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. Deshaun Watson led his team to 10 early points. And he was doing it, John, against ones. The Bears ones on defense.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
The Bears started their ones on defense. Now, they didn't have all of them. There's guys like Kobe Bryant that are out, but they're going to be out all season.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Deshaun to go out in the first couple of drives, score 10 points, that's significant.
Yeah.
Especially when he's going against Shadur Sanders, who looked bad out there in the second half. Now, the Browns are going to flip it. That's what's interesting about their approach.
Yes.
Where Shadur Sanders will play the whole half this coming week, and Deshaun Watson will play the second half.
Yep.
So you'll get Sanders with a chance to play with ones, which he didn't get last week or this past weekend, and he'll get his chance. But I would say very early on that, Deshaun has got – and you figured he had the inside track because he's the one that's paid. They want to get some sort of return on investment for him, that big contract that they paid, and they basically got nothing out of. Hadn't played in 2 years, for the most part, 22 months, and looked decent early before the Bears adjusted and kind of shut him down the rest of the half.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the losers. Atlanta Falcons, number one. They lost Jalen Walker already to a torn ACL. James Pierce got suspended for 8 games for an incident with his ex-girlfriend, Rekia Jackson, that led to 3 felony charges against Pierce, which I think is a good barometer for, we talked about this gentleman last week, Terrion Arnold. When the Seahawks signed him, so they can go ahead, they can just go ahead and void the contract now, as far as I'm concerned, because all 3 of his felony charges got dismissed as part of a pretrial agreement, but he still is going to miss half the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's at minimum missing 8. And how many felony counts does he have? I feel like he's got more than 3. So you could just kind of do the math there. 8. He's got 8. He ain't playing this season. So, you could definitely just go ahead and cut that one loose in terms of the contract. But, the Falcons, obviously, that's going on defensively, and then their offense comes out there and looks like it looked. I mean, Tua looked completely washed. Like, it was against the Broncos starters. I'll give them that, which is one of the best units, if not the best unit in the NFL. But, my God, he looked terrible. Fumbling the snap. I mean, it just.
Yeah, you fumbling the snap. That's before the defense even gets to you. It's just a bad sign for what they think he is in his career. They needed him to push Penix. Penix isn't in a position where he can be pushed right now because of the knee. And so it's an absolute mess for them. A team that gave Kirk Cousins a guaranteed $100 million.
Yep.
And he's out of there now playing for the Raiders.
Yep. Titans quarterback Cam Ward. Titans got the win against the 49ers, but you definitely would not have said that Cam Ward was a big reason for that. Did lead a touchdown drive, but was just 5 of 12 for 57 yards, and 46 of those came on 3 completions, 2 of 9 for 11, if you're doing the math there on the other throws. He had one play where he was backed up at about the 10-yard line. He was about to get sacked and threw it away, got an intentional grounding. Yeah. So, just making mistakes.
Got to clean it up.
Yeah. And he may not be the guy. Like, who knows? He may not be, the franchise quarterback. We'll see.
I will just say he's got Dable.
Mm-hmm.
And Dable did great things with Josh Allen.
Yep.
And maybe Dable again as an offensive guy as opposed to a head coach, but as a coordinator, as a quarterback's best friend potentially,
mm-hmm.
can speak some life into some understanding that simple is good, Cam Ward.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't always have to be a highlight. A little bit of the same conversation with Caleb Williams. Dable perhaps can have that with Cam Ward. So if there's something to be gotten out of.
Yep.
This at least seems like where Dable's been good.
Yep.
This is the area that he can be good.
Yeah, so. then you get into some backup quarterback losers. Riley Leonard, loser. He was bad. He couldn't get the ball. He couldn't get the ball over the line of scrimmage. He sucks. Anthony Richardson is definitely gonna win the backup job for all the haters out there that thought his career was over. Riley Leonard is keeping it alive. There's no doubt.
And he turned the ball over twice.
Yeah,
Anthony Richardson, you still tell me second string?
Oh, easily. And that's how bad Riley Leonard was.
Well, I mean, he's going to be first string start the year because Daniel ain't going to be ready.
Yeah, so they're switching it up this week. So it'll be Riley Leonard first half.
With the ones.
And then it'll be Anthony Richardson second half, which we'll show you. Should be a cheat code for Anthony Richardson. Trey Lance, loser. CBS Sports says that he was outplayed by DJ Uiagalelei.
That's bad because both of those guys
yep.
are not good. And Trey's never proven it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is tough. It's like, you know, when the backup when the third string guy gets in against the third or fourth string defense, but the second string guy is playing the second string defense. Like, all things aren't equal there.
Shouldn't be close. Uiagalelei and Trey Lance though. Trey Lance wants a former top yeah. 10 draft pick.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it certainly is close. That competition will continue. And then Shedeur Sanders.
Ooh, I saw that firsthand.
Yeah, he was bad. He threw a meatball to the Bears DB.
Yes, he did.
And
now we'll just say Dylan Gabriel came in at the end, and he was worse. And keep in mind, Dylan Gabriel, this franchise drafted him before Shedeur Sanders. So there's a lot of bad going on in Cleveland. That ain't just Shedeur in that second half by himself.
Yeah.
Deshaun's going to win the job.
Yeah, I think that's true. And honestly, they want him to win the job. They pay him to be the starter. So, ideally, he should be that. I don't think he's good anymore, but he should be the starter. So, that's the winner and loser list for this week. Now, in week two of preseason, obviously, they get started on Thursday. You know, again, going to be more of a mixed bag with, you know, your starters.
I need to see my starters out here for this one and then sit them for the third one. So I need to see my offensive starters.
Glad you asked. It sounds as though, according to your beat writer, that it just depends on how sharp they are in these joint practices. That's
told
the thing.
You. A lot of teams still doing that.
They are. Like, they just use the joint practice to get the starters reps.
Now, we'll see if Dan, going back to the old way, Dan Campbell, if the rest of the league follows him. Remember, he got out. He's getting out of the joint practice business, and we'll see if that starts back a new trend. My guess is
yep.
the majority of them will stay here
yep.
because what it's done is allowed them to limit the actual preseason games work
yes.
where guys are just, you know, you're focused on staying healthy. The joint practices you can control. They're in a controlled environment of a little bit more of a say-so if you're a coach in terms of what's going to happen than you've gotten these preseason games where you're seeing guys go down. So my guess is the majority of the NFL will stay with those joint practices as being more beneficial.
Yeah. In terms of, like, games we know that will feature starters, Jacksonville said today they're going to get their one some work against Carolina on Friday. So you got that. I think Denver's playing Bo Nix on Friday as well. So he'll be going. I assume Green Bay will probably trot Jordan Love back out there because he looked so bad.
Well, the other Love is out for the rest of the preseason. You saw he's got a high ankle sprain from that game against you guys, I guess, where he looked pretty good. But
he was working.
He comes out with a high ankle sprain, probably done for the rest of the preseason, they said.
Yep, and that's the risk.
That's what I'm saying, is by playing these guys. So, if we see Caleb Williams, you don't need to see him for more than a series or two at this point.
Yeah, because you saw Jackson Dart got laid out. I mean, that was scary.
I saw Jackson Dart get laid out. He was mad he had to go to the tent.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, this is the NFL rules, bro.
Yeah.
And especially with a guy like you, you know, who a lot of times it's going to be running on his own. You wonder if he's going to make the right decision. This was a case where the guy just got in the backfield on him.
Yep.
Yep. You know, pretty quickly got in the backfield. Now, you know, I just feel like that's going to run much more competently with Harbaugh at some point. But Jackson's got to understand.
Yeah.
You know, what he represents as the face of a franchise. Got to be careful every single time. And yes, concussion protocol, part of it, bro.
Yep. So, anyway, I'll update you on starter plans as we get them in. But early on, it seems like Jacksonville, for sure, is going to be one of them. Denver's going to be one of them. Tampa Bay's playing Baker Mayfield this week against Kansas City. Maybe you get a Mahomes appearance as well as he's, you know, trying to get some game action in. So, good stuff. I don't think I'm going to see, or that you're going to see, that we're going to see Caleb Williams. I could be wrong on that, but just based on the tea leaves that I'm getting from Ben, I don't think we're going to see him. Because no need. We're in a good place.
Well, make sure you tell Sammy P that I really enjoyed his coverage over the weekend. 11 o'clock, I sat down for Fox 32 pregame. Cassie Carlson, formerly of WMC. She's from Chicago. Did you know that about her?
I don't think
so.
She's back.
I think she's back home.
Yep.
Sammy P now back home. And they did a whole first hour there, Fox 32, presented to you by Superbox there at the Smith home.
So,
11 o'clock. So I was able to watch the pregame, hour-long pregame show.
They carry the Bears there?
Yes, bro.
Gotcha.
And they carried that game.
Awesome.
Along with NFL Network.
And so it was like a studio show?
They had the studio show and everything. Cassie's in the studio.
Sammy's on the scene.
Sammy's on the scene out in the parking lot. Guy we talked to last week. We need to make him a weekly if we can. He's doing the bets. He doesn't do it on for Fox 32.
No.
He didn't do it on. But he's doing the bets and stuff with you.
Yep.
So he can help out our listeners.
Absolutely.
And he can give me the scoop on the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in. I'd love to have
him. He's a new Chernoff. New Chernoff.
Yeah. We got to replace him. Chernoff told me he's all in on the newsletter. So,
and I just got it about Bears Carolina.
Yeah, he had
one,
over 46.
He's already working ahead.
Now that goes to my spam. Does it go to your spam?
No, it comes to directly. I don't know why I get it. I get it for the information.
Yeah, no, you get it because you like to be an informed NFL fan.
Right.
I mean, you like to know where the wind's blowing.
I also get Dr. Fang stuff too.
Oh, look
still
at you.
Still get that for the information.
Dr. Fang's still out here somewhere.
Yep.
We can get Dr. Fang on. You know? So anyway, yeah, good stuff. Preseason week two rolls on, which means we're getting 1 week closer to real NFL action. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. J&J, 90 Turn FM, yes.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your life's going to involve money. Hopefully it's going to involve you making good decisions with your money. It's not always easy. Sometimes we make bad decisions. You can always do better with great advice, and you'll get that from the folks over at Leaders Credit Union. They want to be there for you in all of those decisions, every step of the way of your financial journey. If you didn't know, Leaders Credit Union is a not-for-profit financial institution. It's fully owned by members, means it operates for your benefit right here in West Tennessee with thousands and thousands, 70,000-plus members, in fact, 80,000-plus members, I believe, now in West Tennessee, and growing, growing, growing. Got two branches here in the Memphis area, and whether it's making your checking count with a Champion Rewards checking account from Leaders Credit Union, you can earn something back for your everyday spending. Yeah, up to 4% APY on your balance with that Champion Rewards checking account from Leaders. You know, we've got little Chris who hooked up with a future Leaders savings account. Us adults need savings accounts as well. So a Ford Plus high yield savings account can earn you 3.5% APY. Check it all out at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Full details and disclosures. See all the details. You mentioned you heard this ad. If you go into one of their branches on 929 FM ESPN, they'll waive that membership fee for you to become part of the family like we all have. Leaders Credit Union is your financial champion for life and federally insured by the NCUA.
This is interesting. Nielsen, who we love and respect so much, Nielsen just released its first ever NFL Fandom Index, which ranks how avid NFL fans are in each team market based on 8 key metrics. I'm going to give you the metrics, and then, of course, I'm going to see how many of the top, let's just say 10, you were able to guess here. Apparel purchases, event attendance, linear TV viewership, streaming, radio listening, betting intent, social media following, general interest. So these are all the TV, radio, social media following,
betting intent.
That's
interesting.
Absolutely.
Gauge that as well.
So when you hear all those things,
New York, KC
is number 2. Mm-hmm. New York
concentrated.
When you say New York, do you mean like what do you mean? Giants, Jets?
Oh, just give me Giants.
Yeah, it's Buffalo is number 1.
Okay.
So it is New York, yeah. But it's not the Giants. A
couple of Buffaloes.
New York is actually last.
Oh, really?
Yes, in terms of all of that. But Buffalo is number one. So you did get the top two.
Okay.
So now that you know the top two, maybe you can get the rest of the, you know, you kind of see the trend here.
Philly Sports Talk.
Philly is fifth.
Good job.
Philly is fifth.
Thanks, Brad.
Yes.
I learned from you.
What about that thing I'm looking at on your shirt?
That's a hint for me, a simpleton, that Bears is on here. Chicago.
Chicago is 20th.
Ooh.
Brad, you steered me
my
wrong.
My bad. That's Brad.
I should have just stuck to my gun.
You got South? Is it Southern teams?
You got three of the five. No, the other like if we're doing top five, two of the next, you know, the two that we haven't guessed yet are not Southern teams.
Huh.
In fact, there's only one team in the South. And it's honestly very guessable if you think long and hard.
Pats?
New England?
New England.
Mm. Is
there a concentration because of all the winning?
I don't see New England in the top 10. No. But I don't know how they, like, I don't know how they.
But they would have a play. They would have Tom Brady on every week.
Man, and I would think with their radio stuff
and
gambling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's two big stations there.
Boston.
I do not see. Boston's 21. Okay. 21.
Oh, Boston.
Yeah. Okay. They're 21.
That's the Patriots.
Yeah, I thought they would be.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Okay, I think along the lines of Buffalo and Kansas City. You know,
you put Philly in there?
Philly's fifth. Okay, but I'm just thinking like when we're starting to work our way down the rest list, think along the lines of Buffalo, Kansas City.
The rest list, what like the rest of the AFC?
Like Rust Belt type, like Pittsburgh type.
Or are you talking about geographically? Or
Pittsburgh
about
is sixth. There we go. Now
it's
getting
like
somewhere.
Those Rusty Belt working blue collar type vibes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's right. So I'll just go through the top 10 here. Buffalo 1, Kansas City 2, Green Bay number 3.
Yep.
Should have got them the concentration.
Cincinnati number 4, Philly number 5, Pittsburgh number 6, Baltimore number 7, Detroit number 8, Dan Barron number 9.
Nala.
With the New Orleans Saints, and then Cleveland and Akron at 10. So the worst markets, New York, L.A., Miami, San Francisco, Tampa, Phoenix, Atlanta, D.C., Boston. Chicago's there at 20. I don't see Las Vegas. I don't see them on there. I don't know why they didn't include Vegas, but I highly doubt that it would be very good because Vegas does not support,
locals.
It's a transplant. Yeah. So, Nashville for those wondering 15th. So dead average, for NFL fandom. So, I would have maybe expected like Seattle to be higher than 13th. You know, because of how supportive they are, but this is just a, it's data, and I'm sure there's some noise in there, and it's not all 100% accurate, but the worst is New York.
Where'd Atlanta pull?
Atlanta is 24th.
Low,
not so good.
Yeah,
huh?
I don't think of Atlanta as like some we support the Falcons no matter what type of town. Could be wrong on that, but it doesn't feel right.
But what do they support? That's what I was just thinking about.
I mean, do people go to
Are they a Hawks
Braves?
Town? They're Braves. They're
probably
a Braves,
Braves
town. They're still a Braves town? They're still a Braves
yeah,
town.
Yeah, I mean, they moved that damn thing out to damn near Marietta to do it. But, yeah, Jake and I went last year, actually. And it's an impressive setup because they got that whole battery going on around that thing. It was full. I think they do pretty well for Braves.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's the list at Nielsen. You know, when you think about, 8.3, you got Detroit, New Orleans there they're tied for 8. So, Dan's in a good spot. Dan's in a really good spot in New Orleans.
Yeah. Football town. It'll always be that.
That's right. So they should just go ahead and move the Pelicans, right? Get them out of there. Not us. We don't have nothing else. I mean, if you have an NFL team. Like, it doesn't matter what else you have.
Well, what this tells you is the NFL team should be in Memphis. Still ain't hooked on in Nashville, has it? All these years later.
15th, but yeah. It's better than a lot of teams. It's better than the Bears.
It's crazy.
We continuously rank with Birmingham, Nashville, and Memphis as college. We're usually in that top 20 for these college because we're an aggregate college market.
And I feel like that has slid even a little bit over the years. I know there was a time when in college basketball, Memphis would always be like a top 5, top 10 market no matter what.
Yeah.
And now it's like never in that list again. Like it does not pop up. I mean, we're definitely.
I was thinking football.
I was thinking we were always on that football list.
Football is what I was thinking of.
We're high on that football list. It feels like it.
Yeah, there's also a time we'd also rate on NBA, and when we don't anymore because when the Grizz are not relevant, we don't care. That is a tough thing. But I understand. I get it. If you're not relevant to the league, why would you watch it? Why do you care? You know, you care about your team, and that's really it. And if you're good, I think you do care about the goings-on around the NBA. That might impact you. Might impact your chances to win. But if you're intentionally trying to lose and get a top pick, you don't care.
Well, these young, mature Grizz are about to make you start caring. We're married up.
Yes.
We're mature beyond our years.
Yes.
And we're grounded.
I have the first football NFL games will air. We're not doing the Cowboys package this year.
Okay.
We will do double headers from ESPN. First one's on the 13th. Bears, Panthers on the 13th.
Love it.
Dolphins, Raiders also on the 13th is the second game. You guys play on the same day, and you'll both be on 92.9.
That's a fantastic slate there. There's no
the Jason and
that.
John Sunday, basically.
Yeah. You know,
about that.
Dolphins, Raiders, I mean, obviously has to be one of the – I mean, I think you identified it correctly. It's one of the premier games of the weekend. So they might have six wins combined this year. So somebody's got to win that one. I guess they don't have to. It could end in a tie.
Yes, ESPN – I guess it was a hot one. ESPN, that was what they offered. So, hey – We'll play some
Raiders. That really says how they feel.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.